Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:19 British Summer Time. Today is April 8th. Well, Asia today started out pretty weak with the Nikkei having been right up there and testing the upper side of the range. It pulled back by just over 1% today. That weak performance was mirrored across the region with a number of indices pulling back rather sharply. However, if we return to Japan for a moment, the weak Nikkei and TOPIX was not reflected in the performance of the banks, which although they were down on the day, they weren't down by very much, and they continued to pressure the upper side of this. It's looking like a 4 or 5 month base at this point, and the second section index pushed onwards to pushed on ahead again today. So there continues to be interest in the Japanese market. And if we stay with the Japan and the currencies, the yen has been really quite strong against the euro and the Swiss franc, particularly over the last 3 or 4 days. But it paired its gain in here today, and I don't wonder if a trading opportunity is being set up here to go short of the yen again. And I see that that David has done exactly that with his short of the yen against the Australian dollar today. So we remain in this volatile currency situation, but it does look like we are going to see a more pronounced yen weakness, and that is a that has been the missing ingredient for the Japanese stock market and the some of those large cap exporters in particular. So even though we've had this short-term overbought condition in the Japanese market and a little bit of resistance at the upper side of the range, we haven't had any real damage done to the short-term uptrend, and the medium term continues to look like the Japanese market is a good recovery candidate. Now, elsewhere in Asia, there are also these overbought conditions relative to the 200-day moving average. And a number of these markets have been up on consecutive weeks. So if we do see a little bit of a pullback, then that's probably not going to worry unleveraged investors. Obviously, if one is a leveraged trader, the best time to be taking profits is on strength if one is nervous. But from the perspective of an investor, particularly those markets that are breaking to new recovery highs or indeed all-time highs and have become a little bit overextended, that's probably all they are. And we really would need to see some of these indices pull back well below their 200-day moving average, sustain those moves, and the moving average turn lower before we would really question the medium-term upside potential. Now, in Europe, the Greek situation continues to occupy the minds of a large number of people, and the Greek 10-year pushed upwards to 7.5% in here today. It didn't close up at that level, but it has pushed on to new high ground, and the spread over bunds is in excess of 400 basis points, which is really quite considerable and the highest level since the debut of the euro. With the way that the ECB is changing the rules on the collateral it's willing to accept, it really is looking like Greece is going to have a. Well, it remains unlikely at this point that the tight spreads that were evident before the credit crisis are ever going to be available to Greece again, in the absence of a marked change in the economic governance of the country. So that is really putting the government there under pressure, because they've already made some very large moves on the deficits front, and bond vigilantes are really starting to put pressure there to see just how far this the European Union, the IMF, will go before they institute a bailout, or how far it will go before the Greeks could be pushed into a default type scenario. So it does remain a delicate situation, and I suspect that there's a degree of brinksmanship going on, that the Greeks could well feel that they've done enough and would probably like to get some cheaper credit in there. That the developing situation there put pressure on the European markets earlier on in the day, and the vast majority of them opened down in excess of 1%. And you have the Euro Stoxx 50 up there testing the 3,000 level, and it was down by about 1% today, but paired its gain, or sorry, paired its loss. And again, this is another index that had been pushing upwards to test the upper side of the range, and it's encountering a little bit of resistance there. But with so many indices pushing on to new recovery highs, and all that we see, or the worst that we can say, is that most of them have become a little bit overbought in the short term, monetary conditions remain extraordinarily accommodative, and the euro continues to weaken against a large number of currencies, particularly those in emerging markets or commodity-related countries. And that is a boost to the exporters in the European region. And in on Wall Street, we see that the Dow and the S&P are both finishing out the day in positive territory, and Brazil is firmer by the bones of 1,000 points. So it broke above the 70,000 level last week and is pulling away from it in here now. The all-time high is in the region of 73,000, and the market is currently at 71,780 odd. So that the previous high is unlikely to provide anything other than a temporary area of resistance at this point, and there really is quite a lot below the market. It's done a lot of work in this area, so there is, I think, potential for Brazil to push on to new all-time highs in the not too distant future, and in the absence of a widespread larger correction in the stock markets, which I think at the moment is less than a 50-50 chance. I think probably considerably less than a 50-50 chance. In the gold market, gold finished out the day just over $1,150, so it sustained the upside break, and silver paired its losses, as did palladium and platinum. Platinum and palladium have really been doing the running, and they've been leading in this part of the cycle. And they're, while a little bit overextended relative to the 200-day moving average, they continue to show that there are plenty of buyers below the market, and the progression of higher reaction lows would really need to be taken out to question their leadership role. I believe that if with gold now pushing up above the $1,150 level and increasingly looking like that, what we've seen over the last 4 months has been a consolidation below the $1,200 level, that with gold beginning to make some running and we sort of coming to the end of the most favorable or seasonal factors in the next sort of 6 to 8 weeks, that there is potential for some of these precious metals to push on to significant new highs. That for platinum and palladium could involve some upward acceleration, and that would well, we know what the stop tactic would be for that, being the trailing stop. In the meantime, elsewhere in the commodity sector, oil pulled back from its high back into the 84 handle earlier on today, but paired its loss and finished out the day at 85.50. We're at interesting levels in oil because it's failed to sustain upward breaks for much of the last year within this gradualist sort of uptrend. And if we were to sustain a downward dynamic in here, then there's probably a strong likelihood that we would see it go back and test the progression of higher reaction lows. But oil's chart pattern is really quite similar to that of some of these stock markets. So that would suggest that investors are tying in the industrial commodities, because the copper has been really quite strong over the last couple of days, and indeed a number of the other industrial metals, as well as the stock markets. They're all being tied into the belief that we are in recovery type situation, and that the global economy is in a sweet spot at the moment, where the large cap markets have not yet begun to raise interest rates and haven't tightened to any great extent either. And that is helping to feed bull markets right across asset classes. So I think it's probably a little bit dangerous to be bearish of gold, or sorry, of oil at these levels, even though it hasn't sustained upward breaks in the past, simply because there are so many other asset classes, all depending on the same flows of liquidity to support them, that are sustaining upward breaks as well. So oil really is an interesting factor. Of course, if oil were to start accelerating higher, that would be a headwind for a number of other asset classes, but there's no evidence that it's about to start accelerating higher, although it is sustaining this upward break and reaffirming its medium-term uptrend. In the soft commodities sector, we also had quite a lot of action in here today. The cotton market, which has been ranging in a really quite a tight range, was quite weak in here today, and it is now looking like it's breaking down from the current range. The corn, soybeans, and wheat were also a little bit weaker in here today, but they haven't shown any running at all over the last couple of weeks. And the sugar market, having been a little bit stronger early on in the day, lost it and finished down by a quarter of a cent on that US traded contract. So while we had some of those soft commodities pushing upwards in the latter half of last year, most of them have now really lost investor interest. And that's not inflationary. We don't have inflationary pressures coming from food, and that is probably a bonus for a number of these emerging markets where the food makes up a rather large component of the CPI. In the government bond markets, US Treasuries were a little bit weaker in here today. Gilts were a little bit stronger, but I did a big click through of all the 10-year government bond yields that we have in the chart library today, and there are some interesting conclusions there, because you have UK 10 years in the region of the 4% level, and they look like they're going to go higher. And you can say the same thing for Australian bonds, for the New Zealand bond, for the US treasuries, for Singapore bonds. They all have this consolidation and look like they're going to push on to new high ground. But in the northern part of Europe, yields continue to trend lower. And in southern Europe, they continue to look like they're pushing higher. And of course, Greece is the really big example of where yields can go when default is a realistic possibility. And in the emerging markets, you have Indian government bond yields in the region of 8%. And that is probably a singular example of where yields are actually heading higher in one of our favorite markets, because elsewhere, particularly in South America, yields are compressing. And that suggests that it's not just stock markets in Latin America that people are eager to get into, but they're also bidding up the prices of government bonds. And the currencies in that region have also been some of the better performers. So commodity producing Latin America and emerging Asia remain two of the better performing areas, not just in stock markets, but in currencies and in the bond markets as well, which does suggest that an increasing number of people are heading towards those areas with a view to not just short term, but perhaps medium and longer term investments as well. I think with that, I'll leave you for the evening, and wish all the best to all of you.